Listen to your favorite ministries on the go. Download AM 1220 The Word's free mobile app from the App Store.
Feels so fine, this New Age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the New Age church is for. Truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man kind to be scared. Will I go to heaven, or as I fear, below? I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died.
Alrighty. Alright, we are back. And we have Mark Cahill with us. And we're going to open the phone lines and take some calls if you have a question or a comment. Mark.
Hey, I have a comment, Pastor Sanders.
Go for it.
You have too many hard breaks. I was on a roll there, man, and then all these hard breaks keep coming up, man. So, I appreciate it, though. I like heartbreaks, though. But
all righty, there you go. That's the last one. That's the last one.
Oh, really? Ready for another one.
Okay, yeah. So anyhow, folks, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673 nationwide. 888-677-9673 nationwide. If you have a question or a comment, one of the things that going on in our newsletter, I want to make a couple quick announcements. One is, Lord's willing, I will be this coming Saturday. I will be there in St. Clairsville, Ohio, at the Belmont Hills Country Club at 9 a.m. this coming Saturday. I'm going to be preaching and speaking on communism, because we have in this country today, we are battling communism, and a lot of people don't know what communism is. Okay, but we have the entire Democratic Party is a communist party. I mean, the leadership is totally communist today. But people have been so, and you got to give the lamestream media credit. They have done an excellent job in dumbing people down. People like Pavlov's dog are waiting to hear them saying, okay, now, it's all right now. Now you can call us communism. They moved a step closer by calling themselves progressives, okay? But they're not there, so people are waiting. And once they get the word saying, now you can call us communist, they will realize, hey, guess what? Just exactly like that fellow Khrushchev said when he said some years ago, we will give you dose after dose after dose of socialism till you awaken to find that you are communist. And that's what's been happening in our public school system since the early 1960s. So go ahead. We have the Parson Larson here wants to do something. Go for it.
Well, there's an article here that we got said police in New Zealand looking to make arrest of person who left a Czech gospel track about Islam and Muslims, which was called Men of Peace and Mailbox. And it says police have taken fingerprints and have canvassed the neighborhood to try to identify who delivered the material. They said the pamphlet appears to originate from American evangelical Christian Jack Chick, who was known for his anti-Islam, anti-Judaism, anti-Catholic cartoons. The New Zealand Muslim Association president, Ikak Kakari, says he is pleased the police are taking it so seriously. Mr. Kakari says, we must remember these are just fringe elements. Police are urging anyone with similar concerns to contact them and say they are taking the matter seriously. Folks, this is the biggest joke in the world. The Muslims keep saying that they're going to drive Israel into the sea. And every day they're shooting mortars in on innocent Jewish people. And then they're saying that Czech gospel tracts are anti-Jewish. Let me tell you what they are. They compare the biblical Christianity with Islam or Judaism or Catholicism. And there's people in both Islam and Catholicism and Judaism that are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I used to have one what he calls an anti-Catholic Czech cartoon thing. It was called Alberto, and it was about a Jesuit priest that got confronted with the gospel and ended up getting saved. And I gave that to a Roman Catholic Marine when I was in Serviceman Center work. And the Marine didn't have time to read the track, but he said he'd take it and come back the next day. The next day he came back, I seen him walking toward the Serviceman Center a block away. He had the track rolled up in his hand like a club, like he wanted to beat somebody over the head with it. So when he got down to me, I asked him a very stupid question. I said, did you read the track? Which was obvious because he had steam coming out of his ears. And he said, I read it, and if this is true, I've been lied to all my life. And I said, well, let's look at the Bible and see if it's true or not. So we went through the Bible, and sure enough, he found out he had been lied to all his life. What the Bible said for salvation and what the Catholic Church told him was 280-degree opposite things. So he bowed his head and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart as a Savior. Now, who was anti-Catholic? Chick gospel cartoon books that led the guy to Christ, or the Vatican, which was going to send that guy to hell praying to idols and statues and other saviors besides Jesus? So he went back to Lorain, Ohio, where he was from. And from what I heard later, he knocked on about every door in Lorain, Ohio, presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. Before that, he was a hardcore lost Catholic, and now he's a soul-winning soul winner up there, and praise God for that. That's Czech tracks are probably the number one most soul-winning tracks in the world. But these police over in New Zealand, trying to kiss the feet of the Islamists over there, want to make it a criminal offense for any Czech tracks to be that are passed out to wake people up and show them their need for Jesus Christ. And that Jesus
is
the only way.
You know what's interesting is Chick Publications, they carry, I think, four of my books at chick.com, and it's a great place to go get tracks. I get my Spanish tracks from there all the time. But I've actually talked to Jack on the phone when they were thinking about carrying my books there. One of the sweetest, nicest men you could ever meet, just had a great demeanor to him, and yet they try to paint him as this anti-bigot, trying to beat people.
A hater.
A hater, that's exactly right. And one of the books they carry is a book I wrote called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. And do y'all remember Herschel Walker, the great football player? And I ran into Herschel in an airport and began to witness to him. He was really strong in his faith, like had a really good, solid faith. So I just asked him, I said, do you like to read? That's a great question you can ask people. He said, I love to read, man. So I pulled out this book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. And he looked at it, and he was looking at the title, and his wheels were spinning. And I said, what's the one thing you can't do in heaven? He said, I don't know. I said, the one thing you can't do in heaven is you can't share your faith with a non-believer because they're not going to be here. You got to reach them here, and you got to reach them now. They're not going to be there. And he got that big Herschel Walker smile, and he said, great title, because that's where it's going with communism or New Zealand, is they're going to try to take away the one thing we can't do in heaven, and that's share our faith and reach these people here. And that's why we have to fight and battle and get on the front lines and quit being wimps and start occupying until he comes and taking territory, moving forward, not back. And that's one of the big problems in the church. They were just kind of settled, and we need to be moving forward because that's what they're trying to do, is get us not to hand chick chaps, not to see Muslims get saved, not to see Roman Catholics get saved. And that's where we have to start fighting and fighting harder.
Right. You know, in John 3:19, it said the condemnation of the world is that when light came into the world, men loved darkness rather than light. Neither would come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. And I understand that even up in Canada, chick tracts that shows the difference between Catholicism and true biblical salvation are outlawed. And they just want to close the door and put out the lights so people stay in darkness to the day they die and go to hell.
Well, this radio program is illegal in Canada. We cannot, if I was in Canada, I could not be broadcasting this. Now, it goes into Canada. We have a lot of listeners in Canada. But if I was there, they'd arrest me right now. And so,
you know, it's interesting you said that, Pastor, because we were talking today about, you know, Noah Hutchings from Southwest Radio Church Ministries, and he told me when we would do shows together that every now and then he would go a little bit longer when he taped me because he said, Mark, I got to cut out a couple things you said for the Canadian audience. I can't let that go up there into Canada. And I was like, you know, that's just how crazy it's gotten in our culture. But we better stand because we're losing rights now. And who knows how much more and how quickly we're going to keep losing those rights.
Well, you know, again, Canada has become, they're going communistic and, you know, they're going Muslim. Islam is growing in Canada and you know, like it is here. This is, you know, there is no more time left. It's now, right now, we have to take our nation back the way we got it, one nation under God. It's now or never, and yet, well, what we have, the problem we have is too many prissy preachers in the pulpit. You know, when this country was formed, God blessed us with the Black Robe Regiment. Those men led the battle. They were the pastors. They led the battle for independence in this country. And today, there's only a handful of those out there that have integrity, that have mettle, that have courage. The vast majority of them just want to stay comfortable in the pulpit. Let's go,
you know,
and take Tom.
It's interesting you say that because I tell people, keep looking at Canada. They're about 5 years ahead of us where we're going to be unless God gives us a reprieve. And I think he's given us some extra time here with President Trump and some of the, you know, the pro-life that's going on and doing that. But I remind people, especially pastors, ask your pastor, when is the last time you had a one-on-one talk with a lost person, not here in church, but at a coffee shop, at a restaurant, at a college camp? When's the last time? Pastor, many times they don't even know the answer. And so how in the world are we going to be a Black Robe Regiment when we won't even share our faith today with someone? And we need to get back to men of God who do that and not ashamed to go out and reach lost people and hand tracts out. Whether they rip them up, throw them down, or read them and get saved, we should be the leaders on the front line in doing that.
All right, very good. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're in the air.
Oh, hi there. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Go ahead. I was listening to your guest talking there about the school systems and that, you know, and I've been doing some thinking about that. You know, I know it's gotten worse. My wife and I raised three children, and they've all turned out to be good, clean living people. Married, we got grandchildren, and they stayed true to the Lord. We taught them the fundamentals here at home, and took them to church. But you know, I'll tell you, there's a lot of Christians out there today that take their kids to church, and then they don't get involved in their life. So. You know, it's like you can't just push your kid into a Christian school either and expect that everything is there. The Bible says, you know, the Word of God begins at home. And so I don't know, you know, about people, you know, being raised. The school systems are much worse. My children and all, my youngest is in her late 30s now. So, you know, we're going back a few years since my kids were in school. And we sent them for Christian schools up until eighth grade, and then they completed high school in the public system. And, of course, you know, I warned them, too, you know, and especially when they went off to colleges. You know, I said, you're gonna have encounters there if you stand for your faith. And one of my daughters did. In fact, one of her professors tried to fail her because she was a Christian, but she stood her ground, and she went to the dean and everything. And then finally, she got through on a passing grade. But I got to tell you, though, that these kids that walk away from their faith, well, I got to wonder if they were really born-again people to begin with. You know, because even if a prodigal leaves, if somebody's really born of the Spirit of the God, even if they walk away into the world for a while and walk away from the Lord's coming back after them. If they're truly apostate, they were never born again.
Well, you're absolutely,
you know,
right.
We're called to be in the world, yeah, and be a witness to the world, and I think that even includes in the public school system. I think the education of Christianity begins at home.
Well, you're right, Tom. Once you don't lose your salvation, but Scripture also does tell you that if you raise them up in the admonition of the Lord, if they leave, they'll return. They'll come back to it when they're old.
You know, you got to remember, too, there's a lot of people out there that can't afford private education. So, you know what, but I was raised, my dad was a Presbyterian, and, you know, they faithfully took us to church, and they showed us the Bible, and we did the same thing with our kids.
Well, and it's not whether or not you can afford to homeschool.
If they're not finding the Lord at home, they're not going to find him anywhere.
Well, Tom, it's not whether or not you can afford.
Yeah, I don't agree with everything you say about that. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not whether you can.
You know, and let
me just tell you why.
The Lord, and you're blaming it on the public school system, then I got to question whether that person had the Lord in their life to begin with.
Well, here's the thing. Going back to
you got
when
a
you say
you, pastor, but I don't agree with everything you say.
Not everybody. When people tell me not everybody can afford to homeschool, let me
that's
tell you.
That's true.
You can't afford not to. Your children are your best invention.
You don't know what everybody's situation is. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes, you know what, you come across, you don't give the Lord much credit. The Lord is the one that does the salvation in our life to begin with. We don't find him on our own. So that's all I got to say. Have a good night.
All right. Well, you said it very well. First of all, no, your children are your biggest investments. And you know, when you come to saying, well, you know, we can't afford to homeschool. Homeschooling hardly costs anything today.
Right.
I mean, it's not like it used to be. I mean, the curriculum, you can get it free. Most all of right now today, a lot of it is free. You can get it down over the internet. And
it costs is time. That's exactly right. It costs time. You can get the online and do that for the homeschool kids. But the thing to remember is that I always tell this to parents all the time, your child's going to turn into you one day, whether good or bad. My dad was a computer programmer. All three of his boys, we did computer programming at some point. My dad played college basketball. All four of his kids played basketball. You turn into your parents. But when you're spending all that time investing in those kids with homeschooling, trust me, they're going to turn into their parents, but it's going to be a good thing, not a bad thing. And then the other thing I want to say is, for you pastors out there, what you should be doing is talking to the 5 or 10 quote-unquote wealthy people in your church that do a lot of tithing, a lot of giving, and say, hey, what I want to do is come up with $5,000 or $10,000, and we're going to offer to pay for the homeschooling curriculum for that family, this family, and that family, and it takes the money thing right out of the way, and then you're going to start raising those kids up at home to be warriors for the Lord Jesus Christ.
We have never had a situation, and I'm talking about where we've had families where you've had single mothers, where we've had a problem finding the money to homeschool. Okay,
exactly.
It's there, and like I said, and not only that, but here, the best years of my life. You know, the children are only children once they grow up. You feed them and water them, and they'll grow. And that time, they're only going to be young once. And when you send them off every day, you don't even spend any time and see them in the public school system. You're missing that time. And some of the best times I've ever had was homeschooling. And because, you know, we did field trips, we did a lot of things, just a lot of things together. And I'll always have that and those memories, okay, that we spent that time together when I could. Like in the old days where families were together all day, huh?
That's right, because they were farming together, they were working the fields, and they'd read together. You don't get a chance to re-raise those kids. That's such a great point in doing that and saying it that way. But the other thing I always tell people, if your kids are in public school or public college, every day when they come home at the dinner table when you're sitting there talking, ask them two questions every single time at meal. Say, okay, son, daughter, tell me one thing you heard today at school that agrees with what your Bible teaches. Okay, then let them talk. And then tell me something you heard today from another student or a teacher that disagrees with what the Bible teaches. Now, when you first start doing this, they may not have answers, but you're trying to teach them to be thinkers, critiquers, discernment, and do that. But here's the other thing that's going to happen. You're going to hear enough cruddy stuff that your kids are getting taught that you're going to want to get them out of that public school. I'll guarantee you that's going to happen.
All right, very good. Let's go and take Frank. Frank, you're in the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, a lot of people are indifferent. You're talking about, talking with other people about their faith and about the Word and God and Jesus Christ and the Word. And a lot of people don't really want to open up to others. They will give you an answer that if they want that, they'll go find a church and be taught in a church. They don't want to talk about it in public with others, friends or not. That's they dodge that topic and subject. And you were talking about lesbians. Lesbians feel like they're second-class citizens. They feel like God is a man. They look at the world through natural eyes, not spiritualize, and see the devastation that man causes, the wars and stuff. They look at God as a male. They feel like they're a second-class citizen. They want love. A lot of times their father didn't fulfill his roles in stewardship as they thought he should. So they really develop a wall, build a wall against men, but they want, they can't separate, and they don't know the Word enough in the person of Jesus Christ. They look at Jesus Christ, who was crucified by men, and they think that's the top of the line. That's what they did to Jesus Christ, who was perfect and is perfect. So they don't trust men. They don't trust God. They're angry with God. They're angry with men. The relationships, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. They want fulfillment of love. Things are good things, good love, but they settle for bad love and jump in, get into a relationship hoping that a man will fulfill their needs of love and compassion and the bonding, and they don't find that they're disappointed there, too. So they chase all the avenues down, and they figure, well, I'm going to be loved anyhow. Maybe I should try being loved by a woman. That's on the side of lesbianism. And they're really angry. They're angry with men. They're disappointed. They don't know how to deal with those disappointments and anger. They don't know the person of Jesus Christ. They don't know the word. They think men are hypocrites. And they want that Eros love. They don't understand agape love. They want that Eros love. So they're really angry people, and they've rejected men to be their partner in life and fulfill those empty needs that they have. Those are some of the reasons that women become lesbians. But you have some good topics tonight and good conversations. You know, like Paul said, Paul planted, Paul waters, God giveth the increase. So you have good topics. I don't want to take up too much time. But when you understand, and they won't talk about it and open up and let it out, they just want those needs fulfilled.
All righty. We've got to move on, but thanks, Frank. Okay, let's go to Chuck. Chuck, you're in the air.
Good evening, Pastor Ernie. I was reading an article by this evangelist. He said most of the Christians that he meets, they only know approximately or maybe around about seven scriptures there. And I was thinking about this gentleman's son that went to the University of North Carolina. If he didn't have that word in him, and he's confronting those professors and his peers in that particular environment, they're going to try to knock that word out of him. And you all, outstanding men of God, can I get a ballpark figure from you all? How many scriptures you get a ballpark figure? How many scriptures you have memorized over your lifetime?
Well, I wouldn't even know where to begin. You know, that would take some thinking. You know, we'd have to think that out. Do you want to take that, Mark? Because,
well, first of all, I'd rather have one scripture memorized and apply it to my life than 50 scriptures memorized and apply none of them to my life. First of all. Second of all, I don't think we realize the power of the God of this world, that he wants to murder the baby in the womb, but if he can't get the baby in the womb, he wants to take him away in their elementary school or high school years. And if I can't get him there, I'm going to get them an atheistic professor that's going to convince them that what they were taught as a kid is wrong. There is such a battle going on that we can't see between the angelic and the demonic, but it's there when you read the scriptures. And, you know, it says in Matthew 4, going back to the guy before, verse 19, and he say of Jesus speaking, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And one guy told me one time, he said, remember, Mark, if you're not fishing, he said, you're not following. And I never forgot that. If you're not fishing, you're not following. And like the guy said about going up and talking to strangers, so there's a DVD on my website called Hey Stranger, and it's just going out and talking to strangers. I think the number in the New Testament is over 80% of the witnessing encounters in the New Testament are to complete total strangers. Jesus talking with the woman at the well, Paul on Mars Hill. We're supposed to go talk to strangers and ask them a question. And always remember, if someone doesn't want to chat with you today, that's okay. There's 7.5 billion people on planet Earth. I can find somebody to talk to me today about spiritual matters if you're willing to get out of your comfort zone and do that. I mean, just before I got on the phone with y'all, I got a call from a telemarketer. And at the end, I said, hey, Jimmy, can I ask you a question? He said, yeah. I said, when you die, what do you think's on the other side? What do you think's out there when you walk out of here? And he said, I think there's a heaven and a hell. I said, okay. I said, which place would you go? He said, well, I'm going to go to heaven. He said, I said, well, what does it take to get to heaven? He said, well, I've been forgiven. I keep trying to get the word Jesus out of him, and I can't get it out of him. But then he said, but, you know, I just kind of keep it to myself. I don't kind of like, you know, I let Muslims believe what they want to, atheists believe what they want to. Well, as we began to talk more, he was pretty strong in his faith in Jesus Christ, but I got a chance to challenge him to be bold and share his faith with his friends, invite them to heaven if he wants them to come. But that was the point. He called me. There's strangers. There's someone I can chat with today. So we got to be thinking proactively and not just reactively.
Hey, Mark, you know, during the Spanish Inquisition, when the Roman Catholic Church was persecuting and killing born-again Christians that wouldn't bow the knee to Rome and burning their Bibles. It wasn't uncommon for the Waldensians, the Huguenots, the Albigensians, and many of those people to have entire books of the Bible memorized because they never knew when the the people would come catch, find their Bibles and burn them and stuff. And so that's it'd be nice if Christians were that way today, where they loved and cherished the Word of God so much that they would memorize entire books of the Bible, which isn't that hard to do. It's just a matter of writing down the verses on 3x5 cards and memorizing them and repeating them and everything. People can do it. And
it's funny you said that, because I just went and bought 3x5 cards the other day and gotten a fantastic talk with Georgette, who I couldn't find them in Walmart. She's already emailed me. She read the book I gave her, One Heartbeat Away, that I wrote, and now she says, I do know what I believe finally after reading this book. So I was actually getting 3x5 cards to do more memorization just last week.
Amen.
All right. Well, thanks, Chuck. I got to move on. Okay, let's go to Coach Dwayne. Coach, you're in the air.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. What a great show tonight.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, I have one problem in the Christianity of today. We have so many denominations calling themselves Christian. Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, how are you getting to heaven? Well, water baptism. Well, you know, we got to do the Eucharist. Well, the sacraments. Well, we've got all these places of denominations saying I'm a Christian. And the real Christianity is putting 100% trust in the finished work that Jesus did. Him is God in the flesh, through a Holy Spirit impregnating Mary, where there was no sin past. His perfect life on earth as God inside of a body that the Father created. He shed his blood to wash our sins. He willingly went to the cross, and he was whipped, and his beard was pulled out, and they crucified him and buried him, and 3 days later he arose. Us true Christians, we hold to the scriptures that proclaim that, and that's what separates true Christianity from a works denomination.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
Well, there's something taking place.
I'll ask people all the time, hey, are you born again? Are you saved? So I don't ask what church you go to or anything. I said, are you born again? Are you saved? You'll get so many answers that one lady said, I don't like those terms. Another lady, I said, are you born again? Are you saved? And she said, no. She said, I'm a lesbian. And she kept walking away. Well, at least she knew there was a difference, right? We were handing tracts out at Phillips Arena downtown where the concerts are at. I handed a tract to a guy. He wouldn't take it. I said, excuse me, sir, are you born again? Are you saved? He said, no, I'm not. I looked at him. I said, well, what's holding you back? He looked at me and said, I just got a lot of questions. I looked at him. I said, fire away. And he stopped. And he was from Pakistan. He grew up Muslim. And he had all these questions. So we talked for about 10 minutes, and then I gave him some literature to help him answer his questions. So sometimes that's a good one. Just ask, are you born again, are you saved? And then just see where the conversation goes from there.
Hey, Mark, you're going to like, let me tell you, I was at the truck stop the other day, the Petra truck stop, and I offered a gospel tract to a Muslim. And he said, what's this? And I said, it's a gospel tract. And he took it and looked at it, and he gave it back to me. He said, you know, I'm a Muslim, and I'm going to stay a Muslim. And I said, well, Muhammad ain't going to get you to heaven. And he said, what if I told you, if you say one more thing about Jesus to me, that I'll kill you? And I said, I tell you, you better get saved, or you're going to go to hell. And he just stared at me for a second and turned around and started to walk away. And I said, hey, wait a second. And he turned around. I said, you forgot your track. And he reached out and took the track and kept walking, you know. And
wow.
Yeah,
That's powerful.
Right. I have a trucking ministry, and I appreciate you guys praying for it. You know, you've heard of Battle Cry. Chick Publications puts it out.
Yep, sure. Definitely.
They got an article about the trucking ministry in this month's Battle Cry, and appreciate your praying,
you
know, because we're trying to reach truckers for Christ. They're like,
you in there? That's you?
Yes.
That's his picture,
I was reading that the other day. I was reading it, and I didn't know that was you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and they're like missionaries getting sent all over the country with loads, picking up and then delivering. But, you know, every place they go, if they take Jesus with them and some gospel, I tell them, if you take some gospel tracts with you, the devil looks at you as being armed and dangerous.
Gentlemen, I get off here, because I know other people want to call in, but I've given Chick tricks for years. Our pastor, Mark Valeni, come in Baptist Church. We have a whole table in the back where we just keep ordering the Jack Trick tracts, and it's wonderful because it's for the Jehovah Witnesses, the Mormons, the Catholics, for the Muslims, for the witches, Satanists, and it's fantastic. It's a gateway, great way. And, you know, the world needs to hear about Jesus, whether or not, we all know that it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. So if you're in a grocery store, if you're in a sandlot, wherever you're at, and you can always start a conversation by somebody saying, boy, I thank God for a wonderful day. Boy, I thank God I got this on sale. You could always, and people will start a conversation. God, you believe in God? There you go. There's the door that opens up. It's simple as pie. And you see, one last point. You see America, all across America, we're seeing bumper stickers. Coexist, coexist, coexist. Coexist is everywhere. You believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. All roads are going to the same place. Yeah, and Dr. Ruckman used to say it best, too. Yeah, all roads are leading to hell. You better go to Calvary.
Amen.
Pastor Sanders telling them, I love you guys. Keep fighting the fight. And just tell people about Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work. Good night.
Amen.
All right, very good. Well, moving on. All right, phone lines are open. We can take your calls at 888-677-9673 nationwide or locally toll-free 216-901-0933. We have Mark Cahill with us here tonight, and Mark's really big into evangelism, and that's a good thing to be really big into, because I've noticed something is happening, and very few people probably see what's going on. You know, the Bible is filled with types and shadows. And all over now, not just on the internet, but on the history channels, on the television networks, they're exposing what is happening. You know, when the Bible tells you that Babylon has fallen, of course, there's, you know, three aspects of Babylon: the political, the religious, and the economic. And the Bible tells us that the political and the economic are going to return on the religious one day and destroy her. And what's happening, we're seeing Jehovah's Witnesses. They're being really exposed. Now, there's an attack by Babylon on Babylon, what we're seeing taking place in the secular, the fake news media is a big part of this attack. And then they've been going after the Mormons. They're really going after the Mormons lately. And before that, we're seeing the Church of Scientology. And so I think what they're doing is they're going after the soft targets first, and then eventually they're going to be coming after the unregistered New Testament church, okay? I think that's what they're heading towards, to come after us. So what do you think about all that?
Do you think it's incrementally they're going after this group, then just keep moving up the ladder until they get to us?
Right, until they get the fundamentalist Bible-believing, until they get to what the Bible talks about there, the Church of Philadelphia in Revelation 2. And so I think that's where it's coming to. What do you think?
You know, it's interesting you said that, because I keep trying to tell people there's a battle for truth in our culture. The lies are everywhere, and people need truth. Now, I always tell people the truth can hurt, but it's still the truth. I used to be a school teacher. If a kid got a 67 on a test, Mr. Cahill, come on now. My parents, they're going to kill me with this 67. I said, well, I'm not going to make it a 97. You didn't study for my test. This is the truth. The truth may hurt, but I make you guarantee I bet you study more for my next test than do that. That's what truth does. And so when you throw truth on the table, you have to get on one side or the other side, okay? And so Jehovah's Witnesses, we were just talking about them. If they knock on your door, open the door. I'm not worried what they're going to tell me. I'm much more concerned what I'm going to tell them. I'm in my dad's neighborhood the other day, and I was talking to this Christian man across the street, and I saw two people walking down another street. I said, hey, man, Elliot, are those Jehovah's Witnesses? He said, I don't know. I said, sure looks like it. I need to go chat with them. I'll see you later. So I drove down the street. Hey, how you guys doing? And come over in. You're Jehovah's Witnesses? Yeah. I said, can I ask you a question? Easy way to start witnessing to people. Can I ask you a question? They said, sure. I said, 1 Timothy 3:16. I said, you guys have the New World Translation, right? They said, yeah. I said, you believe in the King James too, correct? And they said, yeah. I said, well, pull one of each out. I was in my car. I would just roll the window down. And so we pulled up 1 Timothy 3:16. So it's very easy to remember because of John 3:16. But it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory." God was manifest in the flesh. Now, in the New World Translation, it says he was manifest in the flesh. So I asked them, I said, "Do you know what it says in the Greek underneath there?" And they said, "No." I said, "The word is theos." And the word theos doesn't translate he, it translates God. God was manifest in the flesh. Well, we know Jesus was manifest in the flesh, but again, they don't believe Jesus is God. I said, right there is your answer, that you and I have a different Jesus, but the King James Bible has it correct, that this God was manifest in the flesh. And I just looked, I said, we both can't be right. I said, we have got to find out who the real Jesus is, because our eternity weighs upon this. And that's what you do. You throw the truth out in love, and then people got to get on one side of the truth or the other.
All right, very good. Can't argue with that.
No. In Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, "I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, he saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." So there Jesus is claiming to be Almighty God.
Well, you know, when you take it to, you know, when you talk about the Gospel of John, chapter 1, mm-hmm. tells you in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know, when I've witnessed to Jehovah Witnesses, I take them to this. And then Colossians chapter 1, too, refers to that. In fact, then you take them over to Hebrews chapter 1.
Hebrews 1:8.
Right.
Well, when God the Father is speaking to God the Son, and he refers to him as thy throne, O God, okay, he's a scepter forever, you know. So I said, what do you do with this? And, you know, they, you know, I've had them say, boy, you know, you got a point there. I don't know what to do with that, okay?
Right, so what you're doing is, we call it putting a pebble in their shoe or putting a piece of sand in their shoe. And so if you walk enough with a pebble in your shoe, you finally get ticked off enough where you stop, take your shoe off, and dump the pebble or the rock out or the sand out, correct? That's what we're trying to do. Put a little pebble and get you to rethink about the position you've taken. It may not happen all at the door, but I want to plant that seed. I actually had a Jehovah's Witness at my door. He pulled out his phone and pulled up a Greek interlinear Bible to see if that word was theos or not. And the older lady at the door, she wanted nothing to do with me. And I looked him in the eye. I said, young man, I said, you've been lied to. Okay? Jesus is God. Keep searching this out. Here's one of my books. He actually took it. And I said, if I can help you out, let me know. So just think, all the audience that's listening right now, think about this for a second. Man, we got Mormons that'll come up and on bicycles and knock on our doors. We got Jehovah's Witnesses that come and walk the streets and all that. And yet you and I won't talk to a coworker at work. We will not talk to a cashier or a waitress. I had a waitress 2 weeks ago in Tampa, Florida. We were just building friendship. I was with a friend, building friendship with her. Got towards the end. I said, hey, Leslie, I'd like to ask you a question. She said, okay. I said, Leslie, when you die, what do you think's on the other side? What do you think's out there when you walk out of here? She said, I don't know. Do you know? Just think about that. I don't know. Do you know? I said, actually, I do. And got to give her a two-minute gospel presentation. She just got another table, so she got busy. I said, do you like to read? She said, I love to read. I said, I'm going to get you one of my books before we walk out. See, we need to be thinking aggressive and forward-thinking like that, much more so than people who knock on our doors with lies. We got the truth.
Amen.
All right, very good. Let's take Fran. Fran, you're in the air.
Yes. Yeah, it's a shame how we're going downhill with everything, you know. It's I studied with Jehovah's Witnesses. I came out of the Baptist church years ago, and they really confused me, and I thank God and my husband. I was just trying to give them a track, and they really got me so confused that, you know, thank God my husband had enough Bible knowledge to tell them to leave, and they get, once some of them get in there, they can't get rid of them. You better be grounded when you talk to them, because they really, you know, what do you call it? If you're like, I was coming from the Catholic, I didn't know much of the Bible, but I want to get, attract them and tell them, but you get the ones that are really hard and determined, you can't get rid of them, and thank God for my husband that he really brought. And I have a friend you got to pray for. He's involved in it, too. He's almost 90-year-old, and he doesn't see the wrong. I told my pastor to talk to him, but he's so deceived. They're in his building, senior apartment. He's got a lot of problems. You know, they convince and lie to him. His name's George. It's a sad situation now.
Well, you've got a great husband, because that's what a husband is supposed to do, is be a protector of their wife and their kids. And that's why us men have got to know our Bibles inside and out, because if you ever study cults, that's who they're looking for, the ones who don't know their faith really well, interested already but don't know it really well, and then they can hook you with the false teaching and do that. I mean, if you ever study Jehovah's Witnesses, numerous Southern Baptists have left and gone into Jehovah's Witness because they actually did not know what they believed. And so, again, that's why we got to be stronger in the Scriptures. But praise the Lord for your husband. He sounds like a great guy.
Well, he passed away. Now I'm very wise. And when I do, they come to my door, I just tell them, you know, you got to follow the Lord. I don't believe in your religion. I don't have personal thing against you, and I'll pray for you, but I cannot hear from you because you're false.
You know, one thing I did one time, we were in California, and some Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on the house I was staying with some friends, and so I went up there and answered, and she actually used to be a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church. Oh. And I started talking to her, and she wasn't really one, didn't want to listen to me. It was kind of just a one-way conversation. So I said, hey, let me pray for us. And I bowed my head to start praying. True story. She started running away from the door, and she said, I will not pray to a Trinitarian God. No way at all. She was running away. So sometimes I pray for them right there and take their name to the throne of God right in front of them. And, again, keep being bold like that and never be ashamed. But your husband's the happiest guy in the universe right now, and we'll all be seeing him soon. So it's going to be a great day.
We'll be seeing him soon, and he's a wonderful man. I miss him.
Amen.
God bless you guys.
All right, thanks, Fran. I got to move on. Let's go to Lee. Lee, you're in the air.
Yeah, Pastor. I recently discovered this video on YouTube. The title is New World Translation Exposed. And what's great about that is there was a case in Scotland in 1954 where the court made them produce the names of the person responsible, the individuals responsible for the New World Translation. It comes out that one man's name is Fred France. He was attending Cincinnati University. He drops out of school after 2 years because Charles T. Russell said the world was going to end in 1914. So he drops out of school. All right. Naturally, the world doesn't end. And so eventually he gets together with some more guys. He's the principal writer of the New World Translation. He didn't know any Greek. Well, he didn't know too much Greek. He self-taught in Hebrew. Three of the guys were only high school graduates, so they didn't know anything, you know, and they put this book together. And the case is, I'm going to send you a link to the video, because they even give you names of Greek scholars that have denounced the New World Translation. You know, because, as a matter of fact, I told somebody years ago, I said, when you read John 1, I said, where they say, you know, and the word was a God, small g, a God. And I told the gentleman, Jehovah's Witness, real nice guy, I said, according to you, I said, according to what you call a Bible, according to what you call a Bible, you guys are polytheists. He said, well, I said, yeah. I said, you believe in God the Father and, you know, Jesus, a lesser God? That's two gods. I said, you're polytheist.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I love using John 1:1 with because typically they have a King James Bible in their satchel bag. So I always keep one by my door. So pull out the New World Translation, pull out the King James, and I have them look at it right in front of the door where it says a God versus God, and do that. But the other thing you hit upon that I thought was really good was when you get down and study this, you're literally talking about the ego and the pride of men.
I've got the right answer. I'm going to start my own religion. I'm going to write my own Bible. Joseph Smith said God told him it was the God of this world, that there are no true churches. Start your own church and do that, right? This is where we get our David Koresh's and all this stuff, because it's that pride and that ego of men. And I just liked your voice, listening to you. There's a humbleness to your voice, and all of us out there, especially us men, let's stay humble as we share our faith and serve the Lord. And that's one way to protect yourself from getting into false teaching, staying humble and being teachable in what the Word of God says.
Well, I can tell you this. There's something about tonight's program that's stepping on the toes of the devil, because weird things are happening here in the studio. The lights went out. We were sitting here in the dark. And all of a sudden, things are flashing all over the place. And outside the window, they had a security car. All of a sudden, shows up with its lights flashing. So something is going on out there. And I think there's something about this radio program the enemy doesn't want out there.
The good thing is there's so much darkness out there today, Pastor, that it's easy for our light to shine. And I tell people, even new believers, I don't care if you've been a believer for 30 days or 30 years, if you take our little light and move it out into the dark areas, you're going to shine so bright today, because our world is so evil and so wicked. And again, that's why there's an attack and a fight all the time. But I was a sports guy, basketball player back in the day, and I always tell people, wasn't it so much fun to practice all week and then sit on the bench Friday night? Didn't you love it? And they're like, no, I didn't like that. I said, of course not. You practice all week because you want to get in the game. Put me in the game, coach. You want to get out there. And I said, Christians, we have to get off the sidelines. Get in the games and going to the bar section of town, going to a college campus, going to a coffee shop, and engage people with truth and let your light shine very brightly in the darkness that we've got today.
All right, and there's the old saying that you cannot take it with you. How many times have you heard that? Well, you can't take it with you, right? But now there's something that you can take with you, and that's what you've done in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can take the crowns that you placed up in heaven with you there to heaven, the works that you've done for the Lord. And you're either going to have some or you won't. And you'll either you'll either place up crowns in glory or you'll have all of eternity to wish you had. Okay.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah, well, there you go. Hal, go ahead. Get it done.
Okay. You know, Mark, I was just going to say, Oliver Green, Baptist evangelist, said 90% of born-again Christians never even pass out one tract to one person from the time they get saved to the time they go home and be with the Lord. And that's pitiful. That's people in the fundamental churches who are supposed to be on the firing line. And that's why the world's in the situation it's in. Most Christians are sound asleep. You know, you've heard about some are cold and many are frozen, and that's about the way it is right now in the Christian church, the Laodicean church. And I like your book where it says things you can't do in heaven, because it stirs people up to realize if they're going to do anything for the Lord, they better do it now, or else they're going to, you know, be ashamed when they stand before the Lord with empty hands and everything and nobody that they witnessed to or led to the Lord. And
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And I've had people tell me the one thing you can't do in heaven book, again, at markcahillchill.org, and everything's donation only, so just order what you want, give what you want, we'll send it to you. But we've had numerous people tell us they've never shared their faith before, read that book, put it down, and share their faith all the time now. They just heard these stories to encourage them. We give you questions on how to get started, how to break through the fear of rejection. But back to your 90% one, it was a few years ago I was speaking in Texas, and it was the Sunday after the football college football championship game on a Monday night. Well, the University of Texas was in the game. So speaking to this church, about 1,000 people sitting there, and I said, okay, I said, question for you to start. I said, how many of you people in the last week have had a one-on-one conversation with a lost person, talked about sin, salvation, repentance, judgment to come, or handed out a gospel tract? I said, there's no need to lie, because God knows if you lie, correct? And they said, yeah. I said, raise your hand up if you've done that. So 1,000 people, we had less than 5 hands go up, okay?
Yes.
Then I asked them, I said, okay, in the last week, Monday night, for example, if you watched a football game in the last week, and of course the University of Texas was in the championship game, and you watched, let's just say, the whole thing, raise your hand up for me. And out of 1,000 people, how many hands do you think went up?
Probably most of them.
Yeah, we're in Texas, and they love football there, and pretty much every single hand went up, and I hammered them, and I said, are you kidding me that we are more concerned about a football game that God already knew the score of instead of reaching a lost person? And I preached out of Ezekiel 33, 1 through 11. So all you people listening out there, read Ezekiel 33, 1 through 11 sometime in the next 24 hours.
Hey, Mark, we got about 4 minutes left, 4 or 5 minutes, and we usually give an invitation call, and I just want to say right now, there's a lot of people listening to this show that don't know if they died tonight whether they'd go to heaven or hell. And the Bible says in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What Jesus meant by that was you were born the first time physically, or you wouldn't be hearing this show right now. The second time is spiritually, and that happens when you repentant of your sin, which means being sorry about the fact you're a sinner, ask Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul. You see, when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, the devil was really happy because the devil knew if there's one thing about God Almighty, that God cannot let sin go unpunished no matter how much he loves you. God loves you, but he hates your sins. God wants you to come to heaven, but he says your sins cannot come with you. And the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So when you come to God, repentance is simply admitting something to God he knows already anyway. That without Jesus Christ in your heart, we're all a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. But when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, God comes into your heart and he cleanses away every sin you've ever done with his precious blood. He makes you a brand new creature in Christ, cleaner than a brand new baby. The old things are passed away. He forgives every sin you've ever done, no matter how bad it's been or how many. And this is what being a new creature in Christ is all about. When Jesus died on that cross, he said three things. He said three words. He said, it is finished, which means God allowed him to transfer all the guilt for all your sins onto his son Jesus. And Jesus paid for it in full. It's not what he did plus what you do. It's what he did, period. And whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Which means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, and you pray and you ask him to come into your heart as your Savior, he's going to do that. Because God wants to save your soul more than you could even want to be saved. But Ephesians 2:8-9 says it's a free gift. A free gift isn't forced on you. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up that door, I will come into him. And it's when you open up that door from the inside that he comes in and gives to you the payment he paid for you on that cross. Now, if you hear my voice tonight and you don't want to go to hell, the Catholic Church ain't going to save you. The Baptist Church ain't going to save you. The Presbyterian Church ain't going to save you. And certainly none of the cults are going to save you. The only one that can save you is Jesus Christ. That's why he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So right now, if you want Jesus to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross, pray this prayer with me. I'll lead you a few words at a time. Oh, dear God, I believe that you died on the cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And I here and now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul from hell, believing you died on that cross for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for eternal life, the greatest gift anybody could ever receive. And help me to live for you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Mark, we got about 40 seconds left. Do you have some closing comments?
When I committed my life to Jesus Christ at 25 years old, absolutely without a shadow of doubt, the best decision I've ever made in my life. And then reading my Bible, studying the Bible, and obeying the Bible and becoming a biblical soul winner leads to the greatest life down here, and it's going to be a great eternity as well.
Amen. And no one's ever, ever regretted receiving eternal life, have they?
No. Never.
Boy, there's a whole lot of folks that wish they had, right?
That's exactly right.
Well, we're out of time for tonight. I want to thank you all for being here. And how many seconds we're down to about, well, good night, God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.